So first morning here on the retreat. Okay, so I'm going to start with a reading this morning, and I thought, well, you know, probably most of us to some degree or another are missing the presence of Lungpa Pasano. So I thought I'd start with a reading from one of his collection of talks, Don't Hold Back. And this is the one entitled Apanika Dhammas, and I thought it might be a useful one as a first day talk. So I'll just read it and it'll be self-explanatory as we go along. Then the general format here would be to do the reading and then have a brief time for anybody who has some questions about practice, whether it's related to this or another kind of practice or Dhamma related issue. But generally speaking, on the topic at hand, we can have a few minutes of that, but generally try and keep this to somewhere between a half an hour and 45 minutes. In the van this morning on our way to Alms Round, we talked about the Apanika Dhammas. It was a fruitful discussion, so this is the theme I will address tonight. Apanika Dhammas are ways of practicing that the Buddha described as incontrovertible. By practicing them, we can be sure of being on the right path and that they will lead to awakening. These teachings are Indriya Sangwara, restraint of the senses, Bhojane Matanyuta, moderation in eating, and Jagariyanu Yoga, devotion to wakefulness. Once we start working with the Apanika Dhammas, we begin to see how they highlight the challenging aspects of the mind, aspects associated with greed, hatred, and delusion. This is exactly why the Apanika Dhammas are such excellent practices to bring up for reflection and investigation when we are on retreat, and there are fewer distractions. The Apanika Dhammas, however, are not extreme or ascetic practices. It is all about balance, the middle way. These practices are based on skillful restraint and application of energy. We need to learn when to pull back and when to push forward. Ultimately, the Apanika Dhammas help free us from compulsive behaviors that lie at the root of suffering. Indriya Sangwara, restraint of the senses. Restraint of the senses is recognizing that all phenomena are just sights, sounds, smells, tastes, touch, and mental events, and that these arise and pass away. They arise and they cease. When seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking, we maintain equanimity. This is the training. These are the instructions by the Buddha on how to develop restraint of the senses. A monk, on seeing a form with the eye, does not grasp at any theme or variations by which, if he were to dwell without restraint over the faculty of the eye, even unskillful qualities such as greed or distress might assail him. He practices with restraint. He guards the faculty of the eye. He achieves restraint with regard to the faculty of the eye. On hearing a sound with the ear, on smelling an aroma with the nose, on tasting a flavor with the tongue, on feeling a tactile sensation with the body, on cognizing an idea with the intellect. He does not grasp at any theme or variations by which, if he were to dwell without restraint over the faculty of the intellect, evil unskillful qualities such as greed or distress might assail him. He practices with restraint. He guards the faculty of the intellect. He achieves restraint with regard to the faculty of the intellect. This is how a monk guards the doors to his sense faculties. It's not so easy to sustain awareness and clarity of attention to be restrained in the senses, but these are ideal things to be doing. Having this kind of reflection of consistency of attention means that the mind doesn't get drawn into things to which we are attracted or find irritating or offensive, distracting or exciting. What is it that draws us into that sense of engagement, becoming, and being? What is it that draws us out of clear space and the clear space of awareness? It seems quite fundamental, a seemingly simple practice, just to have restraint of the senses. But the practice is much more than that. It starts to open up into more refined levels of the nature of mind. We begin to notice how the mind gets drawn in. By making these movements of mind conscious, we can see how the mind gets drawn into that which is unskillful, unwholesome, and associated with aspects of greed, hatred, delusion, liking, disliking, desire, and attachment. We see, wow, my mind just keeps moving there and getting drawn in. The practice of sense restraint highlights the mind that goes out, the mind that seeks rebirth, seeks becoming. We become the things that are interesting and exciting, but we also become the things that we dislike, are averse to, or are irritated by. That's a becoming as well. So this practice is a helpful mirror to see clearly what the mind tends to do and what it wants to become. Steadiness of attention in general helps strengthen the mind. Restraint of the senses helps us from becoming entangled in getting or becoming. It takes a resilient mind to resist the onslaught of one sense desire after another, to fight the forces of delusion. Skillful restraint frees us from mindlessly slipping into the grasping, deluded mind. We're able to see that sights, sounds, smells, tastes, touch, and mental formations are just that. All it is sense contact. The senses are not good, bad, or ours to own or control. Restraint of the senses helps us get a feel for the contented mind. As challenging as this practice is, restraint of the senses also yields powerful results. Steadiness of attention helps strengthen the mind. It cuts through the habit of getting caught by experiences that are irritating, offensive, distracting, or exciting. A steady mind is the gateway to seeing more refined levels of the mind, which is naturally content and free of sense desire. I encourage you to get familiar with and to learn the mechanics of what draws you out of that clear space of contentment and entangles you in becoming and getting. This practice is guaranteed to yield significant results. Bhojane Matanyuta, moderation in eating. Moderation in eating is a mirror of the mind with its attraction to tastes and flavors, the stream of desire that goes out, seeking that which is pleasurable and gratifying. The practice begins by cultivating an awareness of what the body actually needs, not what it wants based on excitement or boredom. What is within the bounds of keeping the body